You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, the number of apprentices has been increasing in the last few years while university enrollment has largely stagnated, but it's still not enough to meet the shortages in a number of industries. I spoke to Josh Williams, CEO of the Industry Training Federation, about apprenticeships, first asking him what is driving the increase.
Good job market, mostly. We've got shortages in lots of industries. I mean, the one that jumps to the top of everybody's mind at the moment is construction. But there's obviously a lot of allied trades. But beyond that, the services industries have got shortages everywhere. And we also cover things like mental health, disability support, aged care. I mean, when people think about apprenticeships, they tend to think of the traditional trades, and that's absolutely there and booming. But actually, you know, earning and learning on the job is available through traineeships and apprenticeships across a much wider range of areas than a lot of people know.
And is it increasing at a rate that these sort of shortages will be filled?
No, not at all. And in fact, I'm not even sure that's possible. There's a thing called the birth rate. And only a certain number of Kiwi babies are born every year. And for the last few years, there's been around about 60,000 school leavers every year. And that's pretty static. It has been. So in order to do all the work that needs to be done, you know, you do have to get your skills from a range of places. So school leavers is clearly one area where we would look. And that's actually an area where at the moment we do really poorly. In New Zealand, 3% of our school leavers go straight into a traineeship or an apprenticeship straight out of school. Some kids go straight into jobs, but they're not jobs that come with training for qualifications. And as you will know, lots and lots of kids when they leave school go to tertiary education. So about 30 out of 100 go to university. So, you know, sort of 3 out of 10. And that's cool, but one of the things that we're finding interesting is that a lot of our new trainees, in 2016, it was 28% of our new trainees already had degrees. So it's just a really interesting little pattern that we're noticing at the moment, which is that you know, we are getting way more of our new apprentices out of universities, 10 times as many as we do out of the schools. The average apprentice is 26 years old. They've already attempted and or completed something else in tertiary education. And that's cool. You know, that's absolutely fine. Universities are a great pathway. But I think one of the things that we are really interested in doing is looking at what is the range of options that young people are spoken to about and are exposed to while they're still at school, so they can have a kind of broader range of rewarding and all good options to think about when they do leave school.
And has there always been such a need for apprentices, or has this increased in recent years?
Oh, no, it's increased quite a lot in recent years. And in fact, I mean, the global financial crisis, which kind of put New Zealand into recession in sort of around 2008 and 9, that hurt us very badly. I mean, there's no apprenticeships if there's no jobs. You know, in the end, when you're an apprentice, you have a job. So one of the reasons that we've seen our numbers climb quite considerably since around, say, 2012, really, it's been increasing and increasing, is because at the moment the economy is going better and there are jobs out there. So, no, look, it's absolutely the case that when the economy tanks, like it did in the global financial crisis, I mean, the numbers in the system almost halved at that point. And, of course, at that stage, universities and polytechs have got great big queues because if young people can't find work, well then sure, go and invest in your skills and go and study. But that's kind of not the situation now, so the dynamic's a bit different, where we've got polytechnics in particular with declining enrolments and universities looking pretty flat, even with fees free, whereas at this stage certainly we think there's demand in our part of the world. But look, let me put it this way. It's so often characterised as university versus trades. And, of course, you know, it's my job to talk about what we see as the advantages of earn and learn options and vocational training and learning at work. And as I said earlier, We are seeing lots of people who are graduates or have been to university, you know, now coming into the training and apprenticeship system after they've been to uni. I actually think that's all fine, because in the end, every single one of our young people is going to at some point go, oh crap, you know, now I need a job. So it's that sort of education to employment journey that I think is the same whether or not you were the smartest kid at school or the least.
And have we sort of seen an increase in diversity amongst apprentices as the number increases?
Not enough. And actually, look, we've just come off our conference over the last couple of days here in Wellington, which was awesome. And one of the things we did there, along with having a panel of our trainees and apprentices, was a diversity panel. So look, if I take women for a start, across the board, as I mentioned, you know, there's a wide range of industries that offer training and apprenticeships, and so about 40% of our total trainees are female. However, if you go into the traditional trades areas, the apprenticeships, it's just 10%. Now, the good news is that that's gone up in the last few years from sort of 7%, 8%, and last year 10%. That's a good direction, but you were asking about skills shortages, and as some of our members like to say, you know, why on earth would employers who can't find people only fish from half of the pond? You know, my message to the young Kiwi women of New Zealand is these jobs are for you. You can dream and aspire and apply, and you can do them. We've got fantastic stories of young females being successful in these industries that have been traditionally male-dominated, but the only way that we're going to change that is to encourage more employers to take on young women as apprentices, but also for young women to see themselves as apprentices. As I say, we've got some fantastic success stories and case studies, but no, the numbers of women are too low. In terms of, you know, other kinds of groups, well, you know, we have an ageing workforce. When we talk about tertiary education, we're often focused on young people in their first couple of years out of school. But actually, there's 2.5 million people in the workforce, and they are ageing. And of course, the ethnic makeup is changing as well. So, you know, we need more Māori and more Pacific Island peoples to be entering the trades areas as well. And again, the dynamic is both one of people knowing what the opportunities are, but also for a lot of our industries to have a wider look at who it is that they are recruiting into those industries.
Is it large companies that are kind of driving the increase in number, or smaller businesses taking on more apprentices?
Well, New Zealand is 95% tiny businesses. Literally 95% of firms in New Zealand are five or fewer people. So yes, of course, you've got large companies, large employers who employ a lot of people, and they take on trainees and apprentices in much larger numbers. But actually, our system relies on, and a lot of industries now rely on, lots of small companies and people who are self-employed or just one or two or three people. I guess one message there is that, you know, apprenticeships can sometimes feel like a long commitment, a bit like doing a degree. You know, it can be 3 years or 4 years. And because of the nature of work being very project-based and people change jobs quite often, one of the things that we often want to tell people is that, you know, you don't necessarily have to start and finish with the same employer. You can start your apprenticeship somewhere and finish it off somewhere else. So it's not, neither from the student's point of view or the employer's point of view, it's not necessarily that enormous commitment. But look, everybody starts somewhere, right? And everybody who's the kind of employers that we work with can usually remember the name of the person that first gave them a shot, you know? Before they were a big or small business owner, they were brand new and just trying to get going in the workforce and having their first jobs and making mistakes. And, you know, in the end, I think that's something that we all got to kind of recollect, is that there's only so much you can kind of do in the classrooms. In the end, the thing about entering the workforce is gaining those experiences, and, you know, that's where you build on those skills that launch your career.
Are you getting much support from the new government compared to previous years?
I was slightly grumpy yesterday because tuition subsidies got increased by 1.6% for providers, but not for training subsidies for our learners who are learning on the job, and that's a bit sad. Having said, look, I think it's fair to say that they are looking really hard at issues around the future of work, and Labor, before it was in government, wrote a really good report around the Future of Work Commission and looking at that whole issue of us needing tertiary education to be lifelong and supporting people to upskill and upgrade throughout their careers. On the other hand, if you take the kind of big ticket item, which was the fees-free policy, I mean, yes, it applies to our industry trainees and apprentices as well. But as you'll know, you only get one shot at it, right? So most of our trainees have already done tertiary education, so they are not eligible for fee-free by the time they turn up to be a trainee or an apprentice. So in some ways, I'd say, look, I think it's laudable and probably necessary to reduce the costs of full-time study for young people, because it's gotten really expensive and lots of people are walking into the world already settled down by a student loan. So that's kind of fine, but I don't necessarily think that the fees-free policy is also the lifelong learning policy that we want it to be in terms of actually helping people to upgrade their skills over time. You know, maybe when 1 year free become 3 years free, or if they do some tweaking around when you're eligible and how you can use that 1 year free. I should say, and I'm bound to say, actually, as an apprentice, you get 2 years free. You get your training costs paid for 2 years under the policy. And of course, as a person with a paying job, there is no student loan. You don't get a loan, you get paid instead. So we think getting paid is better than free.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.